Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 22. And if you'll earmark that, because we'll come back to it from time to time. Jesus says, just fed the 5,000, and says in 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Mm-hmm. The disciples are in a boat in a storm. They're there because Christ sent them. They're doing the Lord's will, yet they're struggling against the storm. Unable to make headway, going against the wind. I don't know if you've ever been in a boat where you're paddling or rowing and trying to go against the wind. I was out duck hunting one morning in the dark, because you go out while it's really early, and I come out from the cattails and go across a good stretch of open water, and I hit the open water and the wind just went whoosh, and I'm up against the cattails. Back paddle back in the cattails, come out harder, still blew me again. So I got out the oars and started rowing. It's easier rowing than it is trying to paddle. 2 hours to get across the open water. I found out later there were 50 mile an hour winds. It was rather difficult trying to row against this. I can feel what the disciples were feeling trying to go against the wind. It was very difficult. But they were there because Christ had sent them, doing what Christ told them to, and yet they're in a storm. Have you ever found yourself in this kind of a situation? Stuck in one of life's storms, no matter how hard you try, no matter what you do, you can't seem to make headway.
Right.
Everything seems to go wrong. No matter what you do, nothing wants to go in your way. I'm sure we've all seen scenes like this, our storms that will never end, and that no possible good will come from them, we feel. Mm-hmm. Everything's going wrong. What could possibly be right here? The good news from God's word is that no matter how unpleasant the storm seems to be to us, it will produce benefits.
Right.
In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says, Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nonetheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. When we are going through a storm, it sure doesn't seem like anything good is going to come of it. This morning we will join the disciples in their storm to show that there are hidden blessings in these life storms. In verse 25 of chapter 14, storms are God's means of transportation. The very thing that the disciples feared, the same was the vehicle that the Lord used to reveal himself to them. Think of that. They were the thing that they feared the most was what God used to reveal himself to them. He will do the same for us. He comes in the face of darkness. He came in the fourth watch. And if you're not familiar with how they set watches, 6 in the evening is the first watch, 9 is the second, midnight is the third. He came between 3 and 6 in the morning, the darkest hours. If you've ever been outside at that time, it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's very dark. That's the darkest time. He comes to them during their darkness. Perhaps someone here this morning is in that darkness. Even though we're walking around in light, we may be in darkness. Remember that God is ever with us.
Amen.
He does not forsake us. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That's one thing that we sometimes tend to have a problem remembering, that God's with us.
Amen.
No matter what Satan is putting before us, no matter how much the struggle is, the storm is, God's with us.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible also tells us, if God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
David in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 12, go to the right one, 1 Kings 8, 12. Yes. "Then spake Solomon, the Lord said," rather it was Solomon, not David. "Then spake Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness." Thick darkness. Have you ever been in thick darkness? So dark you can't see where you're going?
Mm-hmm.
Can't see 3 feet out in front of you? That's the thick darkness. But God is a light there. Even the darkest hours of life cannot hide from God. David said in Psalms chapter 139, verses 11 and 12, "For I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as a day. The darkness and the light are both like to thee." There is no darkness with God. God is a shining light. He comes in the face of disaster. The same story that was related in Matthew is related in Mark in chapter 6. And in verse 48, Mark said that they were toiling and rowing. They were fighting for their lives. I've been out in some storms at sea. I was in the Navy. I was on a big ship. I didn't have to worry. I was on an aircraft carrier. But even on there, we were rocking and rolling.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the little destroyers that were up there, and down there, up there. They were fighting against the storms. We more or less plowed through them. But I can see these disciples trying to fight the waves, trying to row against it. Everything seems lost. And here comes Jesus walking on the water.
Mm-hmm.
"No problem, guys, I'm here." There may be times that we feel like the storm has or is about to overwhelm us. What's the use? Everything I do goes wrong. I try to do right, no matter how much I try to do right, doesn't come out. Remember, just as the Lord is in control of your blessings, he's also in control of the storms.
Amen.
In James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, to prove that God does control the storms, "Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that he might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." Do you think God was in control? We tend to forget that. Sometimes when we're in our storm, the human nature is to say, "Where are you, God? Why are you allowing this to happen to me?" Instead of thanking him, because he's making us stronger. God may not prevent us from going into the storm. Sometimes God tries to prevent us, and we are stubborn and bullheaded. Mm-hmm. We go into the storm anyway. But he will be with us during the storm. Noah was in a storm. God didn't prevent him. In fact, God sent the storm. But God was with Noah.
Amen.
Now, when we talk of a storm, it may not be a rainstorm. Daniel was in a storm. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. God was with him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into fire. God was with them. God is with us during our storms. He comes on the face of the dark. The very thing that the disciples were fearing, the Lord used to come to them. He wasn't telling them that the storm wasn't fierce. He was telling them that he was greater than their storm. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27, the disciples are in another storm, in a boat, with Jesus sleeping. They're afraid of dying. And they wake him up, and he just says, "Be still," and the waves cease. He's in control. He's always in control. That is still his message this morning. No matter what storm, what your storm is, Jesus is greater than it. Remember, he has faced all of life's trials and temptations just like you and I do.
Yes, sir.
He knows what you're going through. He does not leave you alone. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, Paul had a storm. His was a physical, a fleshly affliction. Some scholars think it was a speech impediment. We know that Paul has said he was not a great speaker. He said he did not come to them with great speech. We're not told exactly what it was, but he prayed that it be gone. It was a storm he was fighting. I'm sure if he had a speech impediment, it was very difficult to try and get up in front of people and have the courage to speak, but God said, "My grace is enough for you." Paul believed him. Paul had faith. Romans chapter 8 and 28 says, "All things work together for good to them that love God." And I know that sometimes it's awful difficult to feel that way when nothing goes right. Mm-hmm. Lord, I'm trying. I pray to you. It's still going. God will take care of you. And in the end, things will turn out. In verses 25 through 31 in Matthew chapter 14, storms are God's means of testing us. They reveal the Savior. In verses 25 through 27, the disciples did not recognize Jesus right away. Sometimes we too fail to recognize Jesus immediately. Mm-hmm. We fail to recognize that he is there with us.
Amen.
Jesus came to them with a message of peace and power. "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid."
Mm-hmm.
God tells us the same thing. If we get into his word and we study, we find that there's a lot of peace from God. And his word will bring us peace if we just allow it to. He gives us the same message of peace and power during our storms. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Let your request be made known unto God. Mm-hmm. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, we can't even understand how much peace God gives us.
Amen.
It surpasses all understanding. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If we just let that sink in, there's peace in God. There will always be storms in our life as long as we struggle against Satan. Satan's not going to give up. Just because you got baptized, just because you're a Christian and you're trying to follow God, Satan's going to fight even harder because he had you before. He didn't have to fight for you. Now he's trying to fight to get you back. So he's going to do what he can. He's going to make your life a struggle. Jesus can give us peace during these storms. It comes with a message of power. It is I. They knew of his power to perform miracles. And we need to grasp the truth that God is the great I am.
Amen.
What did God tell Moses to tell the Hebrews if they questioned who sent him in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14? I am that I am. Matthew 28 and verse 18, speaking of Jesus, says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That tells us he's in control.
Amen.
Satan doesn't have control. There's times it feels like you look around and you see the things that are going on and you think Satan's in control, but Satan ain't in control. God's in control.
Yes, sir.
With that knowledge, we can have peace during our storms. It brings a message of potential. Be not afraid. Stop fearing. Elaine's poster out there says, make your faith be bigger than your fears. Peter, when he stepped out of that boat, had faith. As long as he focused on Jesus, that faith was strong. He was the same Peter when he looked to the side and saw the waves. But what took his mind? The waves and not Christ. When we're fighting a storm, we need to recenter our focus. Center our focus on Christ. And let him fight the storms for us. These storms refine the saint. The storms of our life will allow us to focus our faith on God. If we allow them.
Mm-hmm.
They remind the saint to focus on God.
Amen.
It's very easy to say, I'm a Christian and I follow God when everything's going good. Things start going tough is when we really need to say, I'm a Christian and I believe in God.
Talk, preacher.
Peter was saved because he did remember that Jesus was in control and called to him. Do we? When we are struggling, do we call to God or do we think we are strong enough to get through it? I am man and I can do this. We need to remember who is in control while we are in a storm. And remember when we make it through that storm, we need to continue to remember it was not our strength that got us through it. It was God's strength that got us through it. He is the master of the storm. Storms are God's means of testimony. They testify of his power. Jesus calmed the storm without saying anything. In Matthew chapter 14, it says when he got into the boat, the storm ceased. In chapter 8, he spoke the storm into ceasing. He is in control at all times. They testify of his person. When Jesus stilled the storm, the disciples knew he was the Son of God and worshiped him. When he calms our storms, we also need to acknowledge that God is in control and worship him also. Our storms are to bring us to the same place that the disciples were in at the end, worshiping God. Mm-hmm. But here's a little secret. Don't wait till you're in a storm to worship him.
All right.
A lot of those storms that we get ourselves into were there because we don't worship God, because we have strayed away from him. Mm-hmm. If you read the Old Testament, when Israel followed God, they had peace. They were very strong. There wasn't a nation could touch them. Israel fell because Israel wandered away from God and refused to go back to him. Even when they wandered away, time after time, God brought them back, allowed them to come back to him. He does the same for us, luckily, because every one of us wanders away from God. We don't do it intentionally, but all of a sudden we find ourselves wandering from God. God hasn't moved, so it's us that wandered away. We need to straighten our life back to God. Our faith is proved more by accepting his will and love during our worst times than when the skies above us are blue. If you look at Job, you look at Job chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. He has just lost everything. He's lost all of his cattle. He's lost all of his children. All his worldly possessions. And he worshiped God. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And if you look in chapter 2, in verse 10, his wife, or back up to verse 9 rather, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did Job not sin with his lips. Mankind has a way of blaming God when things go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We need to remember that God is in control. Sometimes it's hard to see the blessings during the storms. As a child, when you're punished, you don't think there's any blessing coming out of being punished. But as you grow older, you realize that your parents did it out of love.
Mm-hmm.
And they corrected you so that you didn't make that same mistake and get in trouble, worse trouble than you were. I don't know what, if any, storm you may be going through this morning, but I do know that he who walked on water coming to the disciples still able to walk on water during our storms.
Amen.